right, brethren, let's turn to Psalm 56. We live in a world of trouble. We're sinners, and we live in the midst of sinners. And therefore, we live in a troublesome place. Nobody knew that better than David. David experienced trials and troubles all his life, in his own house, amongst his own countrymen. And we have a message here from David in Psalm 56 when he was in the middle of trouble, being chased by Saul and him trying to kill him and slandering him, and King Achish, the king of Gath, had him in his midst and just trouble. And David said this, Psalm 56:12. He says, "Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" I would suggest that you mark Psalm 56:13 and refer to it any time that you have trouble. And the reason I say that is this gives us the preeminent reason why believers have assurance that God will keep us. These are reasons why we shall continue praising God. What does he mean there when he says, "I will render praise unto God"? Well, to render praise unto God is to mainly persevere in faith, trusting Christ, giving God all the glory, and submitting to God's will. Of course, we praise God with our lips, and we praise God in song, and we praise God in the words we speak, but the tenor and the overall of a believer's life, he praises God by trusting the Son, by giving God all the glory for His salvation. And in every moment of providence, submitting to God's will. The reasons David's resolve to render praises to God are given here in three parts. And these are the assurances we have that God will keep us in this life. First of all, he says, verse 13, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." When I think of the great death God's already delivered me from, I know I'm going to continue to praise God. Here's the second reason, verse 13. "Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling?" Seeing what a great death he's already delivered me from, I know he's going to deliver me in whatever trial I'm in right now and keep my feet from falling. So that gives me assurance I will keep praising God. And then I'll give him all praise because of the reason he's delivered me and continues to deliver me. Verse 13 says, "that I may walk before God in the light of the living." God delivers his people for a far greater reason than for our own salvation. He delivers his people so that his people walk before him, so that It's for His pleasure and for His glory. His people walk before Him, praising Him in everything He's done for them. And because of these three reasons, the great death He's delivered me from, the present death I know He shall deliver me from, and the reason being that it's for God's own pleasure, for God's own glory, I can be assured God will keep me. I will praise God because God will keep me. Now, my first reason that I can be assured that I'll continue praising God and that I'll particularly do that by trusting Christ and bowing to God's will is this. It's that Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Now, we're going to spend the majority of our time on this. What is death? What is death? Our text shows us here that only God can deliver us from death. So what is death? What is this death from which God delivers His people? Well, we know where it came from. Romans 5:12 says, "As by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." God made one man, Adam, the first head, to represent everybody that would be born of Adam. And when Adam sinned in the garden and disobeyed God, immediately Adam died. And his death was passed on to every one of his children because in him we all sin. We all sin. But what is death? What is death? Is death only the separation of the eternal soul from the temporal body? You have an eternal soul. One day it's going to be separated from our temporal body. Is that all death is? Is it merely what we see when we look at a corpse in a coffin? Is that what death is? That's all that a worldly man sees. He thinks that's all death is. But what is death? Is death wider and more extensive in its meaning? Death by sin consists of three things. Death by sin consists of three things. Number one, spiritual death. Number two, natural death. And number three, eternal death. Spiritual death comes because we're conceived in sin. We're conceived in sin. And so we're spiritually dead from our mother's womb. The moment Adam disobeyed God, he became spiritually dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. No desire to receive spiritual things and no ability to receive spiritual things. Love what God hates and hate what God loves. We walk in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We're children of wrath, even as others, as we come into this world. But God. But God, who's rich in mercy. For His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. God chose that some sinners in this world, He would give them spiritual life. From among this whole sea of spiritually dead sinners, God chose freely by grace to give some sinners spiritual life. And so the Spirit of God comes and it creates within us a new man. And that new man's created in the image of God. That's what spiritual death is involved with. When Adam sinned, he lost the image of God. And he died spiritually. He comes and he creates us, recreates his child in the image of God. Not our flesh, just a new man within us. He creates us in the righteousness and holiness of Christ. And this new man cannot sin because he's born of the incorruptible seed of God. There's a new man in you that can't stop believing on Christ and can't stop loving your brethren. Now, if you can give God all the glory for giving you spiritual life and bringing you to faith in Christ, if you can give Him all the glory for this and take none for yourself, you have spiritual life. God's given you spiritual life. Now, secondly, a part of this death is natural death. Natural death. This is what most people, this is the only thing most people think death is. All of us have a terminal illness called sin. And it's terminal. We have a very short time to live. And we're going to die. It is appointed unto men once to die. It's appointed. I heard a newscaster speaking on the death of Kobe Bryant recently, and he said, he was speaking about Kobe being young and how he was just beginning his new career. And he said, this was such an untimely death. No such thing. No such thing as an untimely death. God appointed before the world began that that helicopter would crash into that hillside on that Sunday morning on a way to that girls' basketball game from eternity. It's appointed unto men once to die. But for those that's been born anew by the Spirit of God, when you've been given spiritual life by the Spirit of God, Scripture says this, that when we die, when our bodies die, that's just going to be the beginning of a brand new, sinless, perfect life with Christ, conformed to His image forever. Our Lord Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this? We're looking at, there's some brethren in here. If you're sitting there and you're not a believer, you look around at some of these folks that profess faith in Christ, you're looking at immortal people. You're looking at people that will not die. We shall be changed. Paul said, in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, we'll be changed. Scripture says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to die. That's why death of the saints in Scripture, in the New Testament, it's not called death. You won't find it called death. What is it? It's called sleep. What happens when you lay down and go sleep at night? If you're really tired, you lay down and you close your eyes and you go to sleep, and it just seems like it was a moment, and that alarm clock's going off and it's time to wake up. God's people are going to close our eyes in death and that fast open our eyes and be perfect with Christ. No natural death. If you're a child of God, born of His Spirit, you have spiritual life, you shall not die when your body dies. You shall not die. And then there is eternal death. Now, for you who don't believe, do not imagine that the death of your body is the end. Oh no. You have a soul. You have an eternal soul. And after this death, there's going to be a judgment. And we're going to all stand before God. And if you stand there outside of Christ, all the things that you hid from men, all the things you hid from mom and daddy, all the things that were Some of the things that were even hidden from you, you didn't even know it was sin. God's going to bring it all to light. And He's going to declare you guilty. And He's going to cast you out into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. No amount of good works are going to prevent it. You can work and work and do benevolent deeds and try to do for humanity all you want to. That's not going to prevent this. No amount of pleading for mercy in that day will do. You can plead for mercy before God all you want to. It won't do any good. Today's the day of grace. Then it'll be too late. If we meet God outside of Christ, God shall cast us out to suffer what Scripture calls the worm that never dies. But for God's elect, what did Christ do on this earth? In a nutshell, let me tell you what He did. He died that death for His people. That's what He was doing on the cross. He died that eternal death for each of His elect. In doing so, He loved God and His people with all His heart so that He fulfilled all the righteousness of the law in perfection. And at the same time, justified His people from all our sin. The law says, satisfied, they're dead. They've been crucified. And so when we stand before God in Christ, we're not going to be judged like people standing there outside of Christ because our judgment took place over 2,000 years ago on the cross. That was our judgment. We're going to stand there in the Beloved, in Christ Jesus, without spot and without blemish. Robed in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the King shall say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So, brethren, each of you who believe on Christ, you've been delivered from death. You've been delivered from spiritual death. You've been delivered from natural death. And you've been delivered from eternal death. Right now. Right there where you sit. You're delivered. You're delivered. So remember, in any time you come into trouble, and you think, is God going to keep me? Remember these past mercies right here. That He's already delivered you from death. Remember that. That's the greatest mercies that we can ever be given. He delivered us from spiritual death, natural death, and eternal death. We have life. Now, secondly, here's another reason to be resolved that I'm going to give God all praise and all glory. I'm going to keep praising God. I'm not going to fall away like unbelievers. I'm going to keep praising God and keep loving my brethren. How do you know that? Verse 13. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? He delivered me from that great death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling? Now, let's say there was a big, giant rock out there in the parking lot. Big rock. And nobody here can move that rock. And some big dude comes along and he picks up that big rock. And we're just standing there amazed that he could carry this rock. And he carries this rock down there to the creek and he throws it in the creek. And he turns around and comes back up to the parking lot. And there's another rock there. It's just a little rock, about this big. Are you going to be worried that he can't pick that rock up and move it? You just watched him carry that giant rock down there to the creek, throw it in the creek. You think he's going to have any problem with that little bitty rock? God has already, in Christ, delivered us from so great a death. You think He's going to have any problem keeping your feet from falling in this much lesser danger of this temporal world? It's far less. It's very easy for God to do. He's already done the hard part. God's justice and His mercy and His glory is on the side of every believer. His mercy, His justice, His glory is on the side of every believer. Will He give His only begotten Son and then turn around and let one perish for whom Christ died? And that by a weak world? God forbid. Will Christ pour out His life's blood and justify His people from all our sins, and then God leave me to perish by a lesser danger? Romans 8:32 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for all His elect, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? We're regenerated. We have spiritual life. You know why? God spared not His own Son. We've been delivered from natural death. Why? God spared not His own Son. We've been delivered from eternal death. Why? God spared not His own Son. Well then, in all my worldly tribulations that I face, wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling? How shall He not? He's saying it's an impossibility for Him to not. With Christ also. It's not just that God's doing it without His Son. God the Father and His Son are freely giving His people all things. He gave us justification because He spared not His Son. He gave us life because He spared not His Son. He gave us holiness because He spared not His Son. He's going to keep our feet from falling. How do I know? He spared not His Son. He delivered Him up to the jaws of death for His people. Justice, mercy, and the glory of God itself is on my side. So, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Hold on loosely. Don't get too attached to anything. And don't be surprised when the trouble comes. Our Lord Jesus said this, though, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Sometimes in trouble, it's hard to be of good cheer. But you got this right here. Christ said, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. That's the peace Christ gives. What does He mean by that when He says, I've overcome the world? How will I not keep your feet from falling? Now here's our third reason for giving God all glory, for knowing that we're going to continue doing this. We're going to be assured. I'm going to praise God. Here's how I know. Because God has done all this for me, verse 13, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. The light of the living is a person. I know it's a condition that God's people are in. We're walking in the light of the living. But it's a person we're walking in. In John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me. You're not walking in darkness. What are you walking in? The light of life. Christ is the light. And Christ said, I am the life. The light of the living, the light's Christ and the living, and the life's from Christ. And this is the one in whom His people walk. It's walking by faith in Christ. While you have the light, Christ said, believe in the light, that you may be children of light. How do I become a child of light? Christ said, believe in the light. He said, I'm the light. Believe in the light, and you will be children of light. See, this light is through faith in Christ. It's walking as children of light, approving of what God approves. Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. You were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Isn't that what we just said? That's what I just said. You're light in the Lord. It's through faith in the Lord, you are light now. That's how one we are with Christ the light. He says, you are light. Now watch. Walk as children of light. What does that mean? The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. He's saying the fruit of the Spirit makes us walk in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving or discerning what is acceptable unto the Lord. We have some discernment now. We know what's not acceptable to the Lord as far as our walk is concerned. We know what He accepts. We know what He doesn't accept because we have some spiritual discernment. And so He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But remember this now. Don't just try to reprove people by pointing the finger at them and exposing all their sins and railing on them and casting all your venom on them. Don't do that. Well, what should I do? All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. By Christ the light. You want to expose darkness? Preach Christ the light. You want to help a sinner turn from darkness and see that what he's walking in is darkness? Declare Christ the light to him. You won't declare light to him, manifest light to him by walking in darkness to that one who's walking in darkness. That's why Scripture says, don't return railing for railing. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now go to Colossians 1. This walk that I'm talking about here is for God's glory. This is for God's glory. This is for His own pleasure, so that His people give God all the praise and all the glory for bringing us into this light, the light of Christ's kingdom. Look here, Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Why did they pray to God for that? Because He's the only one that can give it. He's the only one that can make you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Why did they pray to God for that for their brethren at Colossae? Because it's only in the power of God that you can do it. Watch this. But they didn't just ask God for something. They gave God something. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. He's fully made us fit. He's provided everything for us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's made us fit right now to enter into glory with those saints had already been made perfect, and nothing had to be done to our spirit for us to enter into that glory. We're fit for it. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, see there, they gave God thanks for this. He did it all. They asked God to continue doing it in their brethren, and they gave Him thanks for making them meet, to making them fit to go into and receive the eternal inheritance. You see, everything God's done, everything He's doing to bring His child to walk before Him. Notice there in our text, Psalm 56, He says, He's done all this deliverance for me that I may walk before God. That I might walk before God, that God might see me walking before Him. And He's brought us to walk before Him to bring glory to Him, to bring praise to Him for doing all of this to make us walk before Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just like they gave thanks, they were giving all the praise, all the glory to God because He did everything to make these brethren walk before the Lord. And that's why I say God did all of this for His own pleasure and for His own glory. That's why He delivered me from so great a death. That's why I know He's going to deliver my feet from falling. Because the purpose in all this is to bring glory to Himself for His own good pleasure. One of the first things we teach our children as toddlers is to walk before us. We spend their younger years teaching them to walk before us in a way that's approved of by us and approved by God. And then they get older and they leave home and they walk before us doing what they learn from us. And in every one of these stages, it brings us great pleasure and great glory because we taught them that. I've been watching the joy on John and Kelsey's face and Christine and Scott's face to see Elias taking his first steps. They've taught him. They've worked with him. He's beginning to do one of the first things they've taught him. Walk before them. God's done all the work of saving His people. All the teaching He's given us. All the enabling He's done for us. All the power He's bestowed upon us. To bring Him the pleasure of beholding us walk before Him. He brought us from death to life. He brought us to faith in Christ and robed us in the righteousness of His Son. He made us desire in our new holy man to please God and do what's pleasing to Him, to love Christ and to love our brethren. Now, when you see how we delight to see Elias walk, when you see that, think about how God takes pleasure seeing what His glory has accomplished in making His little children walk before Him. When Elias faces some great obstacle, do you think John and Kelsey's just going to leave him? Kelsey gave birth to that child. She endured great pain to have that child. They've stayed up nights with that child. They've fed him at night, and they're gonna spend a lot of nights up with him when he's sick. You think that having delivered him through all of that, then they're gonna let him just walk over to some steps and just fall down those steps? No, they're gonna keep his feet from falling. God's delivered us from so great a death as that spiritual, eternal, natural death. And He's going to keep delivering our feet from falling because of that very reason, so that He continues to have the pleasure of seeing us walk before Him and giving Him all the praise and glory for doing every bit of it. So therefore, I can be assured I'm going to keep praising God. I'm going to keep praising God. No, Not because of something I did, but because He's doing everything. Do you have that assurance? You know when we don't have that assurance? We're looking at something we've done. That's why we don't have it. You won't get it there. Look at what He's done. Then you'll have assurance. Now let me end with this. Christ prayed to the Father and He said, I will that those Thou hast given me be with me where I am. And therefore, we shall be with Christ where He is. That's why God's going to keep us. He's going to deliver us, and we're going to be with God in glory. I can promise you that. And so, it's for a far greater reason than even our own salvation. It's for God. It's for His Son. It's for His glory. And so, in every trial we come into, here's the purpose of it. Go to 2 Corinthians 1. Here's the purpose of it. Paul said, our hope of you is steadfast. Knowing this, for 2 Corinthians 1:7, that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had this sentence of death in ourselves for a purpose. God's teaching us that we should not trust in ourselves, but that we should trust in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and He continues to keep our feet from falling, and in whom we trust, He will yet deliver us. Now go to Revelation 21. Will He yet deliver us? This is what's true, going to be true of all His people right here. Because Christ did all this work, and Christ said, it's my will that they be where I am. And so this is what's going to happen. Revelation 21, 23. We read here the city. This is the heavenly Jerusalem. This is where the glory of God is. The light of Christ sits right now. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory, the shining glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So you can have assurance, brethren. He's going to keep you walking all through this life till you walk that day in His light. In person. That's going to happen. I pray He give you grace to believe on Him and pray He give His people this assurance. Amen.